You good?
Got it.
And that's how babies Excellent. Are made.
That's how babies are made, kids. By the way, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 175 of the Planet Destiny podcast. I swear, this is the first introduction we've done for this show today. I don't know why you would think otherwise. Why are you looking at me like that? Stop it. Look, you know I love you, baby. Oh. Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
We are back with the PD podcast with our usual roundtable of big folks. Mr. Aura, what's up, man?
How you doing? How's it going?
Oh, man, it's great to see you, man. I'm glad you got that shirt on.
Thanks, dude. Thanks. It was a struggle.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wanted the no shirt stream, but apparently that violates at least one Twitch law.
As long as you get, like, from here up, we'd be fine. It just can't be from here down, right? A little bit of chest is okay.
Yeah.
The manly chest hair. Yeah. Maybe someday.
Just some electrical tape.
Just tape it up, right?
That's all you got to do.
Oh, my God.
Don't ever take it off, because good God, holy moly, that's not how waxing is supposed to work. Oof. Yo, Dan, are you going to be okay over there, buddy?
This is the best Destiny show ever.
This is. We're sitting there talking about chest hair and electrical tape. It's that special time of year. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. How are you?
Not too bad. It's good to have you guys back here for the show today. No Nim plays, unfortunately. His computer decided to celebrate Halloween a little bit earlier, got possessed, and then died. He is currently exercising it with holy water right now, which probably isn't going to work because it's a computer. So yeah, we probably have to just wait until he gets a new computer before he'll be back on that grind.
Yeah.
Rip and pip. Everybody celebrates differently.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everybody. We were off last week. We had a couple people who were out of town, so we figured we'd make it a break week. But we are back once again to talk some Destiny 2. Some interesting stuff been going on for the past couple of weeks, huh?
Heck yeah.
Had a little bit of a have a patch that's going into effect in a couple of days. We've got a Festival of the Lost that is live. I don't think we got a chance to talk about that before it went live, right?
No, not yet, no.
Going to be starting this episode off with some interesting stuff. So, Festival of the Lost. It is live. It's a thing. Masks are back. We've got a brand new activity in the Haunted Forest, which is kind of like a dungeon delving sort of thing within the Infinite Forest that you can push into. It's, in my opinion, pretty fun. I've been enjoying it.
Yeah.
But the festival, it's live. You guys been playing it?
I played it the day it went live. I played it a lot. Completely solo queued. Random matchmaking. You do the quest first, right? You got to go through a quest.
Yeah.
Then you can unlock the Haunted Forest. Is that the correct terminology?
The Haunted Forest.
Right. The Infinite Forest that is now haunted. You unlock that.
Spoopy Infinity.
And then you fight a bunch of nightmares, and you get a currency. I can't recall what the currency is called.
It is souls. You are harvesting
fragmented souls. Yeah.
That's really dark.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so- man. Hey, man, I gotta get my mask and my auto rifle. Like, whatever kind of currency it's gotta be. If it's the tortured souls of the damned, I'm giving my baby Amanda what she wants.
Amanda turns out to actually be the darkness.
She's actually Savathun.
She's actually the darkness. We're out here doing all of her murderous
souls,
duties.
Souls, crunchy souls.
Looting some chests, killing a bunch of bosses with boss spec, and I don't have 1,000 voices, but besides the point. Just killing a bunch of bosses, taking a bunch of souls, going, getting chests, buying a bunch of masks. You got triumphs.
Yeah.
A bunch of triumphs for getting all the masks.
Yeah.
You got the triumph for getting the origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And
the origin story.
The horror story. It's the origin horror. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Reskin! Oh god, Bungie, do better. Do better, Bungie!
Do better.
It's fine.
Okay, it was fun.
Yeah.
That's actually a good place to jump in on, and I still want to hear your opinions on Festival, Dan. But
we
kind of have to talk about the horror story. It's I would call it the penultimate reward for Festival of the Lost this time around, because we do, of course, have a murder mystery that's going on this week. By the time you're watching this video, that murder story is probably live. That murder mystery that we're going to be taking a part in, and it's heavily speculated that murder mystery is going to be dropping something special.
A certain Lord of Thunder?
A certain Lord of Thunder might just be dropping as a part of that murder mystery with Master Ives. Who knows? We'll find out.
Lord of Thunder.
I think Thor is going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Who's going to? Thor? We're going to have
Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's actually going to hand you Stormbreaker.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know if we're allowed to hold that as well. We're guardians, we're not humans, so maybe we can actually use it.
Yeah.
I'm about to do my Marvel stuff.
Is that how curses work?
Kind of.
Do we supplant that because we're technically Guardians and not just human anymore? Can an Exo pick it? Well, I mean, Vision could.
Does
Avengers, Vision could
come with it. Are we transitioning? I don't.
I think we're veering pretty hard in the left hand lane. I think we gotta merge back into traffic, guys.
Be going above the speed limit because if you're in the left lane and you're doing the damn speed limit, listen.
Get out of the left lane.
Yeah.
Move your Sparrow to the right. Sparrow to the right. Ugh, nonsense. But yeah, horror story, you know, it's a reward that you can get right now. It's an auto rifle. You can get it for about 100. Really? Haven't gone grinding for it?
I just haven't. Like, the Shattered Throne was the first week of the thing. So I was like...
yep.
So I was just going for Shattered Throne. But yeah, it was awesome. It was like Shattered Throne's amazing, but yeah, just didn't have time.
The big thing for the horror story, I think, is if there's players out there that are significantly below 600, like that is a major boost. You can even like just start the Forsaken DLC, go get it, and get yourself a massive boost to gaining power level quickly.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a huge boost. It's a guaranteed 600 drop. If you're out there, you haven't gotten it yet, you're struggling to gain power level. If you infuse it, I don't even know if it's trash. I don't have it yet. Maybe
I don't
bad.
Think you can.
I don't think you can infuse it. I think
infuse it.
No, I think you just get it.
It's like a pinnacle
and then
thing.
It's it.
Yeah, I don't think you can
of
infuse
all
it.
Guns to make.
I think that's the
all right.
point.
Forget I said that. I guess you're stuck with it. I guess you're stuck with the horror story.
Yeah.
It's still good for that purpose though, because I don't think there's like a level requirement on it either.
Nope.
Like as soon as you can equip or legendary stuff, you can just throw that on and have a 600 primary, which is an incredible boon. If you're somebody out there who's still trying to grind your way towards power level 600, that's absolutely right. You can just get that thing, get a huge boost to your power level, and it's going to make the grind towards 600 before Black Armory comes out so much easier.
Yeah.
Like I actually did a review video on the horror story, and surprise, surprise, it's about an average auto rifle. It's okay. It's not amazing. You could probably get a better rolled Hazard of the Cast or Tiger Spite, but the power level, that's the real benefit there. Get it just for the power level boost you're going to get. And if you're already 600, you have less reasons to get it, but you know, it's an easy level 10 masterwork item.
Yeah.
So you can get it for that purpose.
Oh my god.
And there's a Triumph for it too. Anybody out there is a Triumph hunter.
There is a Triumph,
Triumph for acquiring it. So
That's another thing that, like, so going through it, I haven't gotten the horror story yet. I've gotten a couple of masks. I'm working towards those triumphs, but they're at like a zero range right now.
Yeah.
So like you're not getting any points for completing the triumphs other than just doing them, which is fine. I don't know what else you'd get. Like you get the emblem from doing it, right? You get the emblem from
emblem shader.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. So, I mean,
what's like, the, Dan, have you run the Haunted Forest at all?
I have. I ran it up to 6 with friends, and then we were like, why aren't we getting to 7? And I think it was because we were talking too much, and then, like, because I ran it with completely random people and got to 8, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my max with a random matchmaking group.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, a lot of people, I think GLAAD might have the record, like 15, 16.
Yeah.
16. They got to rank
there
to branch 16.
He hit 9 solo, by the way. So I'm with the fire team, and we're trying to get to 8, and he hit 9 solo. Big thing for that.
That's
the 1,000 voices plays a major part. Anybody out there who's trying to get further along, you basically need to melt the bosses immediately, prioritize yellow bar enemies, try and move along as fast as you possibly can. Don't worry about saving supers. That's been the method
use
I've
them.
Seen most players use the most.
Yeah.
A lot of orb generation, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Blade Barrage, of course, tethered to gain supers quickly. Melting Point.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hammer Strike.
Of,
get that.
Yeah, the well of Radiance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how far have each of you gotten? Like, what was your actual max?
Eight's the max for me as well.
The farthest I got was 9. And we got to the boss before the timer ran out, but we weren't able to kill the boss before like 10 seconds had passed.
Yeah.
So we got screwed out of the branch. But yeah, Haunted Forest, I think it's a pretty interesting activity.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great repurposing of the Infinite Forest.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it as kind of its own little side thing that you can just kind of run in and do over and over again to see how far you can get. I think I had a video about this go up on PD a week or so ago. I could actually see this being a normal activity within Destiny 2.
Yeah.
If, they tweaked a few things and maybe added a unique perk or like reward pool to it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, you know?
It's been interesting, like, watching Reddit react to it because they're like, from what I'm seeing, like what I've seen the past couple weeks, it's like, oh no, this is what this should have been from the outset. And like, this is like,
yeah,
this is something we want to see continue.
Right.
And maybe like give Brother Vance another reason to do things.
I mean, mm-hmm. it's a legitimate infinite forest.
Yeah.
You can go for as long as you can possibly muster. I don't know if, for Infinite Forest, when it came with Osiris, it had purpose. There's four different versions of it with four different bosses for the adventures, I think.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be the exact same thing it is right now, unless they made the very end, they made it a set number of rounds. Okay, 15 max rounds, four different bosses rotating each week. Whether they put a time limit on or not, or whether they make the heroic version have the time limit to get all the way through. There's a lot of, like, things you can juggle to make something like this work, and I don't know anything about game development, but it seems like the framework's already there.
Yeah,
like you got some of the categories left, you got some of the categories in the right, and just need someone to kind of like put them together.
Yeah,
and bring it all together. But who knows? They could even throw that at us. The next two DLCs, maybe the next three, are already done, right?
Yeah,
I would assume.
Black Armory's mostly done, I'd imagine, and they're probably mostly done with Joker's Wild, too.
Yeah, right. So this, if they did, you probably wouldn't see it until next month. That'd be, what, next September? Next year? Be about?
Maybe.
For what?
Unless, like,
anyway.
Unless they're taking a look at this and be like, oh, people really respond to this, and people are really liking
this.
It's like, the Horde mode we've all been waiting for. I think it's just like a few little itty-bitty tweaks away from absolute greatness, because it's fun, but it got really monotonous for me my first couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've never had the desire to go back in and do it again. I got three masks. I made it to branch 8 a bunch of times. And I'm not like, I've been working on the broadsword so much, like so much, that I really haven't had a desire to go back into anything else at all.
Yeah. Well, man, that first week. So, like I said, that first week of Festival of the Lost, when it was full Curse Week, when it was Shattered Throne Week, that
Iron
was
Iron Banner.
Oh, Iron Banner. Holy God. And then you had
so
like,
many things to do.
Yeah. Then you had the like, triple and double, like the double and triple, like Valor. Holy shit, that was the week to catch up. And like, seriously, that was the week I caught up with everything that I set out to do. I did a little bit of Iron Banner. I actually knocked out several of those weekly challenges.
The
Iron Banner. I think I didn't do two of them, but like that pushed me even further towards it. And then Shattered Throne, which I freaking love so much.
It's great.
I spent hours knocking my head up against Vorgoth trying to trying to solo it. I was trying to do the solo version. And man, that fight is so impressive and so like I just love it. There's nothing about that experience that I would ever take back in my gaming career, and that's amazing to say. And then like,
did you do it solo? Did you complete it?
Fuck, man, no.
It's hard, dude.
I wasn't that high. Yeah. I wasn't that high in light. Like, I wasn't top. I wasn't at 600. I didn't spec out my armor the way that I probably should have. And like, honestly, I would get so wrapped up there toward the end there when I got to actually doing damage with Sleeper, because I had a couple of people, I read a couple of things on Reddit about like the boxes at the front of the room and using them as your cover for most of it. But like then using Sleeper, because it takes like 13 to 14 Sleeper shots when you're at 600. It was all just like a combination of things, and I made some really good headway on it. I got it, like I did a quarter health at one point. And I'm so looking forward to that coming back around again, because I'm going to nail it. the next time. It's so good. It's just such a good thing. And yeah, there's just so much to do. I sampled a lot of it, and instead of doing the Haunted Forest a lot, I've been in there quite a bit when I'm editing. When I edit, I normally like to keep my mind on something else. That way I'm listening to it not as someone who's a part of the activity, but as just a stone cold listener. And the Haunted Forest is so mindless and monotonous and wonderful in that way that I can just jump in and still be chipping away at getting those souls while also getting scared by the knights and getting other things done.
They're spooky.
Oh my God. Every spooky. Time. Yeah. I'm just like, ah, shit, there's a knight.
I like watching somebody go in who, like, I watched a few different broadcasters go in their first time and how many people wasted a blade barrage on that night. Only to see like a million of immune
yeah.
pop up all over the screen. I thought that was funny because I think everybody's reaction to this was like, oh my God, big guy, and then hit him with this thing, and then like it's immune. Yep. So you're like, oh damn, dude,
yeah.
wasted super. So that was always cool. And then seeing everybody's reaction is, and spoiler alert, seeing everybody's reaction as they get to the chest and they get sucked in.
Yeah.
Jebaited. Right?
So that was something that was really fun to watch. I know the first time that happened to me, I kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of had a
your heart
bit
sank
of a
little.
Yeah, I
freaked out. Yeah.
I made a small scene when that happened the first time, but because I didn't see the door to get out.
Yeah,
same.
I just bounced around with this crazy madman with an axe chasing me for a while, and I was like, Bungie's laughing at everybody right now. Like they're in their room seeing all the reactions and having a ball at the fact that here's all these content creators jumping around like crazy, yeah. jumping beans, trying to
dodge an immune knight.
Yeah, yeah. Who's like who one shots you?
Yeah. One yep. shot you, yeah.
Yep. So
oh, it's so good.
But yeah, monotonous is a good way to describe it. Like I said, I've been grinding on the broadsword so much and having such a great time actually doing it. I've been having so much fun doing it that I did my passes. I got 3 masks and I moved on.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
It's yeah, until November 6th, by the way, too. So you still have time.
Yeah.
You got plenty of time if you still want to play it, but that's the exact same for me. I played a ton of it that first day and that first week. I got my horror story really quickly. And then, you know, I started going for the grind of leveling up the masks, because the masks this time around in Festival of the Lost, they're more than just something that takes up your inventory space. they actually have mods that you can unlock and upgrade on them as you're playing within the Haunted Forest. And I don't know about you guys. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that they did something with the masks this time around. And also, the mods that you get on masks are way more powerful than any of the, like, beneficial modifiers we have in the game. Why is that a thing, Bungie? Put some of these mods into the modifiers for strikes and like the Nightfall and stuff, because holy moly. But yeah, so I went through and I basically leveled up 3 different masks to get the 3 different perks, and I haven't gone for any of the other ones because
yeah,
that's a lot of monotony for just leveling up or unlocking a couple of masks.
Yeah,
they're incredibly important for anybody who's actually trying to go into 9, 10, 11 branch range. Like you'll see the elite players swapping out the masks as they get teleported into the boss room for the one that melts bosses faster, using the one that gets there super quicker. You'll see a lot of people swapping back and forth during the encounters. So for anybody out there who's a strategist, you definitely want to pay attention to those, because they are incredibly important if you're going for that. If you're putting a fire team together and saying, yo, dude, we want to beat Glad's record, you need them. You absolutely need them.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who's been playing the Haunted Forest and you've kind of been sleeping on the mask, don't.
Yeah.
Those modifiers, those perks on there are ludicrously powerful. I gave this example in the video I made. The Winged Terror is the mask that makes you nearly invulnerable to damage when you're in the air. One of the latent perks on there, because each of these masks, each of these mods get, what, 3 buffs?
3 buffs.
They get 3 different buffs. The Winged Terror gets a buff that gives a 2.5 times damage buff to all of your damage.
Ugh.
All of your weapon damage gets a 2.5 times damage buff. It's small arms from Destiny 1, but better. It's ludicrous. You're one-shotting all kinds of mobs in there. And then there's, of course, ones that give you a damage buff against Majors, against the Nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely worth your time to level up those mods. And thankfully, it's easy. All you got to do is kill Nightmares. That's what all of them require. You just got to kill 10 Nightmares. It levels it up one tier. 10 Nightmares. One more tier. It's really easy to do, and it's absolutely worth your time to level up at least 3 of the masks. Do at least the 3 different mod perks so that you can play around with the different effects and whatnot while you're in the Haunted Forest. Overall, I mean, it's just I think it's a pretty well-designed kind of like self-contained horde mode, you know?
Yeah.
It presents a challenge. It gets more difficult the longer you're playing because as you're clearing branches, different modifiers are activating on the haunted forest mm-hmm. itself to make it more difficult. And the further in you get, the more negative modifiers get stacked. Before you know it, you're facing down blackout, glass, attrition,
yeah.
and whatever else they've got in there for you. And things can get a little bit heated when you get to some of those higher branches. But I like that. I like that mm-hmm. challenge. And I could see this being its own separate activity, just within the world of D2, they would need to tweak a few things. And I think in particular, it would need to have its own, like its own loot system.
Yeah.
Which I argue just make nightmare versions of the Mercury gear.
Oh, that nightmare. Oh my
random,
God.
Nightmare random rolled versions of the prophecy weapons.
Oh, there you my go. God.
There's your, yeah, there's your loot pool.
That would be great. Random rolled versions of that stuff that was kind of supposed to be random roll. the probability
forge
engine
gear.
Yeah,
I'm still working on the yeah. forge stuff on PC because I skipped. I didn't play for like a year on PC, so I'm still going back and doing all that now.
Yeah,
and
how are you liking it?
I forgot all about the weaponry and like every time one drops, like, oh yeah, the Jack King Queen or whatever it's called. I remember that. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could definitely see like nightmare versions of that gear coming back as, you know, just mm-hmm. unique rewards that you can only get from a haunted forest activity. I like it. I've yeah. enjoyed my time within the haunted forest. It definitely gets monotonous. You know, you're doing the same thing over and over again ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah, it's not a bad monotonous. I mean, it's
yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean bad.
Yeah,
everything in Destiny is monotonous.
Yeah, yeah, you're just repeating it over and over again, and I think it's because of how short the activity is. That you're like, mm-hmm. all right, let's get back into it. Let's knock it out. That's where it becomes apparent rather
right.
than.
It's also because there's no real apparent reward from it.
Right.
As you're slamming your head against it. It's just like, all right, we actually got to branch 11.
Yeah.
Give me my fragmented souls.
Yeah.
That's I almost wonder, it. Like, there's an emblem that tells you how far, like it mm-hmm. tracks how far you are, but almost you wonder if there was one that was a unique emblem per branch after 10. Not one yeah. that counts how far you've gotten, but mm-hmm. you know, little cosmetic things that are only yeah. available if you've gotten that far
would, yeah would
kind
that'd
of
be cool.
a driving force, because some of the emblems in Destiny are actually like really awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes I don't want my tracked stat to be shown, whether it's like you've got one raid completion or you've killed, you know, 12, or do some of my yep. nightfall scores, because I did them just to do them, are like 5,000.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
I'm not exactly trying to advertise.
I'm not proud of that.
My
I'm
not trying to show that off.
Bosses, like four, but some of them look pretty cool.
I got the Shaxx one, the one that's the Crucible emblem, that's black and gold.
Yeah, and
it was from Iron Banner. My team of six went in, and we murked everything, and I think everybody left, and I got that emblem to drop.
Oh man, really?
And it just has like a one on it right now. So people are like, oh shit, did you go like unbroken or like something like that? No, not at all, kid. Like it was purely a cheese, basically an unintentional cheese, but we got it.
We take
those.
So
sorry. Please do not send me messages.
We take those here. That's all right. Yeah, you know, I think this Festival of the Lost has probably, to be honest, been the best Festival of the Lost we've had thus far within Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, even with D1, the festivals we had in that, they gave us quests to run, which were mostly just go out into patrol spaces and kill things to collect candy.
Mm-hmm.
This has probably been the most interactive festival, getting a full game mode on its own that we can go in and slam our heads against unkillable knights for fragmented soul rewards for an auto rifle that's probably not great.
Yeah.
it's definitely been interesting, and I'm really excited to see what this murder mystery is going to bring this week.
I mean,
because
the fact that it was free, and
it's free.
That there was so much detail put into it and planning spent on it. And the old nickname was Festival of the Cost.
Yeah.
I didn't get the vibe that there's any money at all, you there's know, that- really driven. You had the option to buy all the cosmetic stuff. It was kind of neat, but they're throwing engrams. They're throwing engrams at you.
Yeah.
To unlock these things from the Eververse. Like, literally, I play for an hour and I'll end up with one of these engrams. I play for 2 hours, I've got two, maybe even more. So, no more festival to cost it. It's been really, really cool on Bungie's part.
Yeah. The only thing that I've seen people actually purchasing online, like, is the Pennywise dance. That is the new emote from the latest iteration of It. Like, it looks cool. I didn't personally...
The goofy dance.
Yeah, I didn't spend any money on it, but, like, when I see people do it, I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah, I know what you did. It's going to be super rare because it's tied to this event, and I don't know how many people have actually purchased it. But when I see it out in the wild, I'm always like, I see you. Like, hey, what's going on? We all float down here. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, not waiting for Halloween this time around. They're just jumping right in. Ghosts in and out of the system, just coming in, grabbing my face, making me smile slyly off screen. Just, what was I smiling about? You'll never know.
I have no idea.
Because nothing happened.
Yeah, we have
the picture in the Discord. I don't know if you guys, it might not be in the call. Here, I'll put it back in the call for you.
There is no picture because nothing happened. Absolutely nothing at all happened. We've been here the entire time.
This is going to be an emote experience. What are you talking about, dude? You need to make this emote.
No, there is no emote. There is no emote because nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened.
Smile, dude. Link grin. Hey, how are you?
We were just here the entire time. There were no spooks in the system. What are we talking about? Festival of the Lost? Haunted Forest?
We were talking about monotony? All those things. We were talking about those things. But I think there's other stuff going on. We can talk about other stuff too.
We're all talked out on the old Haunted Forest, on the invincible nightmares and their ability to infiltrate power systems across the U.S. Yeah, well, they're a little spooky. Maybe one day we'll actually be able to take care of those infinite, immune, unkillable nightmares.
Yeah.
So what else do we got going on? We got a patch update getting ready to come up, don't we?
Yeah, that we do. I am looking here. Yeah, update 2.0.5 is coming this coming Tuesday, the 30th.
This Tuesday.
Quality
of life stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rebalancing functionality of just distribution dynamo perks, slightly increasing sword damage in PvE, but not hit registration, so... slightly increasing fusion
not
rifle
so lucky.
Damage, increasing viability of malfeasance and PvE and gambit activities, which is much needed. Adjusting visibility of Titan's banner shield, making it easier for players to see through the effects. Adjusting exotic rewards to help reduce the number of duplicate drops.
I feel like this is something they've been saying since like year 2 Destiny 1.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Because you get like the September expansions add all the new stuff and everybody wants all the new stuff, but Bungie doesn't want you to get it too soon. Because if you have all the new stuff, then
if there are more one-eyed masks and those gauntlets that the Titan or the Hunter can have that give you a super every time you blink your eye, I don't want the population. I don't want to go into Crucible and be playing Mayhem. Right? So, like if I'm going to play Mayhem, I want to know I'm playing Mayhem. I'm not trying to play Mayhem when I'm playing Comp or when I'm playing Quick Play. I want to play
it
those game
be a
modes. So
playlist.
I'm okay with people not having these exotics. Dude, it's all right for me to not run into these things.
Yeah.
No, I want my Ursa Furiosa. I want it right now.
Oh, God.
Right this. I want to have 5 supers in one game. Right now.
I think it's been up to as much as 7 or 8 for some players, man. It's like, it's continuous super for a lot of players.
It's a little ridiculous, and that's why I want them. I want them right now, because I haven't gotten them. And
man,
that's a shame.
I still don't have another exotic, like another Forsaken exotic to drop for me.
I just unlocked the Mars one, the sword. Forget what it's called.
Yeah.
And the next
Black
exotic
Talon?
That dropped, the next exotic that dropped was in the open world, just chilling there. I like almost couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, that's not an exotic, right? It's like was it a white engram? I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked over to it. I picked it up. It was the Mars exotic sword.
Yeah.
World Line Zero.
After acquiring the World Line Zero, back to back.
Yeah, so, you know, it's always been a little bit questionable that when you complete an exotic quest, that exotic adds itself to the world loot pool.
What? Mm-hmm. For what reason?
To dilute the loot pool so that you can't get what you want, you.
It's so
weird.
So,
I will say, I have had more exotics drop this past week running when I have run the forest.
Really?
Like the haunted forest. I will say that I've probably had like two or three drop. They've all been duplicates or year ones. And like, but that has happened more often. I took a look on Reddit and there is a conjecture number because it seems to be tied to the exact number of kills that you've gotten for the chance of an exotic to drop.
Really?
Supposedly. And if I read this correctly, I'll have to go back and source it. But supposedly it's around 2,400 kills is the sweet spot.
Really?
I'll get that in like two blind well runs.
Yeah.
Like, if I actually farm blind well, I guarantee you, I mean, that's an exaggeration, but yeah. There's activities where I feel like you're fighting against more than what you'd fight against in the haunted forest. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I'd want to see that performed over a course of like actual science with multiple people in multiple regions actually counting the kills, because if that's the case, then you would never get one in Crucible. Like there are people who don't have 2,400 kills in Crucible, period, you know?
Right.
So
I think it's just like kills. I think it's just flat. I don't think it's
proactivity. No matter where you're partaking them.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
Well, like, I mean,
let me see if I can find that.
We do know that kills are tracked differently within the game because somebody did a study for like prime engrams, and they were able to tie down exactly when they were going to get a prime engram, and it was the number of kills they had to get was different based on the type of enemy that they were killing. If they were killing red bars, it was like 2,000 enemies. If they were killing like majors and ultras, it was like about 100, 200, somewhere within that range. And they were able to, at least, you know, in their limited sample, this is not going to be indicative of everybody's experience, but they were able to get down to it, or they were able to get it to a point where they were able to predict almost exactly when their next prime engram would drop. And I would imagine it's probably the same for exotics. Just so kills in PvP probably count differently than kills on like Thrall or something that you're going to be fighting in like Blind Well. It would have to be, because you're right. Like, you would never get an exotic if it were tied to like 2,000 kills and all you do is play PvP. Oof, that'd be bad.
Yeah. It's something along those lines, because I remember seeing that Prime Engram one, and then last week there was another thing up on the Reddit talking about it.
Might have been the same group.
It might have been. I know they sourced. I know they talked about the Prime Engram drop.
Yeah, study, that's the thread I remember reading. Yeah, I believe you though, because like I think Nim had the same experience within the Haunted Forest. He told me he's gotten a bunch of exotic drops. I haven't seen one. I haven't seen one exotic drop in the Haunted Forest. But I don't know. It might just be tied to the way, you know, the nightmares are coded. They might be coded as ultras or something like that.
I don't know. Whatever it is, I've had more pieces of candy show up on my screen, and everybody's gotten excited. And then all of a sudden,
it's Telesto.
It's like Telesto. Or the Chaperone. The Chaperone was a good one to get.
5,500 glory guaranteed. Just go on a comp. Telesto. That's all you need.
Easy money. It's pretty good. On sale from Xur. Buy it.
I forgot to go see that, man. Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, thankfully that is being addressed. Mm-hmm. They're going to be knocking down the Exotica duplicate rate. And in particular, they're removing quest exotics from the exotic loot pool.
Thank God.
Thank you. Oh, man. Oh. Because nothing worse than finally getting that yellow drop, Malfeasance.
Yeah. Mine was a chaperone.
That ain't it.
There's no reason. Like, collections are active, so you always have access to that weapon again.
Yeah.
Other than it dropping and increasing your power level, there's no other real reason for it to be a quest specific. If it was open world, I'd be like, all right, it's an open world exotic. It just drops from whatever. But
yeah,
I almost don't want to be reminded of how much work I had to put in to get that damn sword to see it drop again. Like, I don't need to revisit that time in my life, Bungie. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, thankfully that's being addressed in this week's patch that is going live this week, along with a bunch of other big quality of life changes. 2.0.5 might as well just be called the quality of life update.
Yeah.
Because we're also getting some changes to ghost fragments for the spider over on the Tangled Shore. They're upping your maximum amount of ghost fragments from 10 to 20.
Yeah.
That's a little bit better. Yeah. I don't know why the number was so low when Forsaken came out, because you filled that up really quickly. Why? Why is there a limit? We can have 999 stacks of gunsmith mats, but you get 10 ghost fragments. Only 10.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that either.
Yeah. And what were the stems from Braytech?
Yeah.
I have 157 of those. Yeah. I have 157 of those.
You should go turn those in and get all those sleeper nodes, because I don't know if you know this about the sleeper node RNG, but it's worse than any kind of other RNG you could possibly imagine in this game combined. There is no smart loot system for your nodes to drop. There's a Triumph. I don't think you can get Wayfarer. I don't think.
Yeah.
You can get Wayfarer without completing the title. They have all of them.
Yeah,
you
gotta do it.
You can't.
So if I'm you, first of all, I can buy those from you because I want it.
Yeah. You want to buy my account, Aura?
No. I don't want your account. $200
right now. Stems.
The broadsword is done enough. I can't go for it again, dude. I can't handle this quest again. Okay? Once is enough, dude. I have two other consoles to worry about. You want me to buy? No.
Not me. No, thank you.
No. It's all good.
I'm pretty sure I quit on the broadsword.
Oh, dude, it's been fun. It's actually been fun. Outside of 25 games of Rumble, which is basically kill everybody in your spawn every time they spawn.
Yeah.
And solo Blade Barrage your ones and make sure you use Nova Warp to kill everybody for 2 years, because the super never runs out. It takes every bit of damage without actually taking damage.
That's correct.
And you can't run from it.
Kill the tether! It kills tethers.
Yeah, it kills tether.
It kills everything.
It shuts down tether.
It one shots every super. You can snipe it in the face in melee and it won't die. It does 95 damage. It's I'm not bitter. Anybody out there listening, I'm not mad about
clearly
it.
Clearly not.
No, not at all.
Not
at all.
I'm not upset. I'm just not disappointed.
I'm not upset. I'm
Papa
just disappointed.
Aura over here.
That's all right. I'm gonna keep using Nova Warp because that thing is great.
So I don't have a Warlock. I don't have a Warlock. Ooh. I don't play Warlock. So every time they pop it, I just start dancing.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is coming, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's right.
Fight back.
Give up.
Yeah.
This is also the update that we're getting, the Masterwork Core change.
Hold on. You mean Enhancement Cores, right?
Right. Thanks for the correction there. The Enhancement Core
are they
change
blue?
Because the name was the problem.
There's something else.
Wait, this is like 2 months too late. What's the change they're actually making?
Okay, so first and foremost, Masterwork Cores are now Enhancement Cores, because that was the root of the problem with Masterwork Cores.
It was a name. 100%. It's a name change, but yeah.
It was the name. Yeah, it was definitely the name. Everything's okay now.
Yeah.
But they're going to be adding more sources for Enhancement Cores.
Which is
they're going to be adding
2 months too late.
Yeah, that's good. It's a few months too late. They're adding scrapper bounties, and 6 of the spider's weekly bounties will now be able to reward you with Enhancement Cores. Thanks.
Yeah.
How many cores they're going to reward you? I don't know, but they're weekly spider bounties, so.
Anything is good.
Are you still struggling with infusion fuel?
Yeah.
Really?
I just don't infuse.
I just
don't infuse.
In comp and quick play, I can use a level 10 weapon. It's not going to matter.
Yep. I stopped for a while, and then I got a couple of pieces to drop. And I've actually been using the matter that you get, the little...
Yeah.
I've been using those every time I get one.
Yeah.
And just popping that on, getting a Masterwork Core, popping it immediately afterward, getting another one. I got up to 16 and used it pretty heavily during the Shattered trying to up gear for the Shattered Throne, because that was I needed certain perks when I was in there, and
100%
it was too tempting not to. But no, yeah, I'm still struggling with it. People are saying to go back into the Leviathan and Eater of Worlds and just farm it for that
prestige drops Masterwork weapons and armor, so You could just dismantle that right away and get them. That's definitely a good strat. Like I said, I've been focused so much on... I actually got 600, my first character to 600 this week. Just based off thank you. Just based off Prime Engrams and the Crucible. Like I said, the Broadsword is a very long quest. And just playing the games, it has been dropping Prime Engrams and not even trying. I mean, my loadout's crap. I'm going to go in with the worst looking Guardian on the planet because the armor's all mismatched. And the weirdest weapon loadout you probably have ever seen. It's like dual shotgun and sword is probably where I'm at with my 600 power. But listen, I'm there. That's the important part, okay? And I lived through dual shoddy sword before because it was how I got to... I'm not going to infuse anything, so I'm just going to use this until the next item drops. Yeah. I've done it. So.
You punched the clock. That's it.
Put in your time. Yeah. It's, yeah, I mean, you know, you guys have heard my opinion on the Masterwork Core thing. I still think it doesn't really need, it doesn't really need to be a part of the infusion equation, but, looks like that's the way it's going to be moving forward with enhancement cores. And I'm glad, you know, adding any more sources for it is a good thing.
Yes.
That is a good thing. That's 100% something that should have been, like Aura said, should have been a part of Forsaken, especially if they were going to tie Masterwork Cores, the items previously known as Masterwork Cores, to something as integral as Infusion. Then, yeah, these sources should have been there really at Forsaken's launch. Mm-hmm. But I applaud giving us more sources of them.
Yeah.
I like that.
Stimulating that economy is a must. And like they've heard that and they're like, okay, we agree. Let's go forward. Let's move on from that conversation.
Just remove them. Yeah. Just remove it. Just it doesn't need to be.
We've seen your Reddit posts. We've seen it on the Bungie forums.
We're listening. #we're listening.
Yes. they're also going to be reducing the time for single shader deletion from your inventory. Save your thumbs.
It's like a fourth of a second, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
I still have yet to understand why the shader system even exists the way that it does. It is so...
It's confusing.
Intricate. There are so many resources poured into the shader system, and there are so many resources poured into shaders. There's like a billion of them, like a billion shaders, and it's like, it really, really wasn't broken in D1. Like, it was perfectly fine. Yeah. One shader, one set of armor, boom, you're done. Good to go. I'm out.
I think it was one of those fixes where it was like people wanted more customization, and a way to do that is to give people way more options than they know what to do with.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, well, let's just make it so that every piece of armor needs a shader to go on it in order for that to work. But there's no toggle option for the same shader on all gear.
Right.
And which is a lot of people are asking for now at this point in the game. And
I don't think there should be currency. I don't think there should be a number. Like, once you get that shader, you can still have the control over what piece of armor it goes in. But I'm not limited to five of this Eververse one that I can only get when I kill a certain thrall on Titan when the moon is aligned with Saturn on the summer solstice. Like, I don't need to play under those conditions to get a specific shader.
Right.
Accessibility, again, this kind of ties into certain things, like maybe the end game for the Haunted Forest is some shaders that we can't get unless we get to level 15. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was definitely an example of if it ain't broke, break it. There was really nothing too wrong with the shader system back in D1. I like some of the advancements that we've got in D2. You know, I like the way, you know, you can apply it to whatever you want individually and but I don't understand why they went with an individual stack shader system.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like you make a few more problems than you fix by doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like
there's no way to get rid of them. Yeah, or like the fourth time change to delete them that's existed with patch notes. It's like we're itching along. How about we just, you know, I understand a timer. There needs to be a timer because we all make mistakes and delete things we don't mean to.
Yeah, have us all the time.
Shaders are the least important thing that need a timer attached to them.
Especially now that you can pull them from collections, which collections are amazing.
They charge Bungie did a good job with that. Dust for it though. It does cost you
whatever that shader like dismantles into. That's what it'll charge you for collections. So if it's a legendary legendary shard shader. Yeah. That's what it'll cost.
Yeah.
Good system, though. It's a good system.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, the better system is to always make it so that you can customize whatever the hell you want.
Yes.
Like,
I like that.
With like a color wheel or something. It's not, like, maybe that should be an option going into something forward. But I don't know. It's a nice change. Like, good. Thanks for reducing the timer. But there are definitely other things that need to be addressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you're going to be able to shard them, you know, faster now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Once this update comes out. So there you go. Good stuff there. We've got some buffs coming to, like, Wishender and Malfeasance, right?
Yes. Yeah, Malfeasance is definitely getting a buff in PvE and against, I think, like, people in Gambit, like, other users, other players.
Yeah, I think it's getting increased damage against Taken and Invaders, I want to say.
Yeah.
In Gambit, which is definitely interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially the one against other players. Against Invaders.
I think it's interesting to hear an exotic specifically tied to a game mode performing within that game mode itself. Is that something we've seen?
Yeah.
We've only seen that with the Hive auto rifle from D1. I keep forgetting the damn name of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nem doesn't forget. Well,
Necrochasm.
That was mainly a thing with, like, raid weapons in D1, yeah. Where you got stuff that, like, did more damage to oracles or, you know, more damage to Vex and stuff like that back in D1.
You'd have to shoot the oracle for it to do more damage to it. Like, let's be honest, some players that we brought into the raids with us kind of didn't shoot the oracle. Anyway, I'm sorry.
They did not. They were afraid.
Oracles, dude! Oh, my God!
But yeah, it's really interesting that this is getting, you know, a buff that is going to be specific to a... You know, very unique game mode and a very unique, because as far as I recall, it doesn't say when you, like, just general damage against other players. I think that the TWABs specifically mentioned increased damage against invaders.
Yes.
Hopefully, I mean, I don't really know how to feel about that, because depending on how big the damage buff is, that could be, that could wind up being something pretty interesting within the game mode. But if it's only against invaders, like, so if it's only when you're defending, that could actually make Malfeasance, like, a really desirable weapon if it can cut through that overshield that invading players get when they're running in Gambit. Although...
just gonna Queenbreakers both of them, dude, let's be honest.
That's basically what's gonna happen. You're just gonna Queenbreaker them or sleep them.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here thinking about the Spaghetti Goat of Destiny. What if this buff goes active in, like, normal PvP?
Like Malfeasance weekend. I didn't bother to even farm for it because it's such a not very good useful weapon right now.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Nim's just like blasting everything. Yeah, I think they're also changing the shadow detonation damage. I think they're increasing that as well with Malfeasance, which is good because it's definitely underwhelming as it is right now in the game.
Absolutely.
And what's Wishender getting? Changes.
Increase base damage, and they're fixing an issue where the broadhead perk would not properly activate under certain circumstances, which would result in a loss of damage.
Yeah.
So is that going to make it a one-shot in the Crucible, or is it just still going to be... Because bows, to me, we've talked about this before, they're just a... They're fun, but they're blah. Like, I'm going to do more damage to adds in any environment with a hand cannon... In a faster, shorter amount of time than I would with a bow.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that leave that specific bow? Is it going to one-shot yellow bar knights? Is it going to, like, that'd be my question moving forward.
I doubt it's going to one-shot.
Yeah.
I very much doubt Wishender will one-shot, but it'll have that more consistent damage with Broadhead working for the entry and exit wound damage that it's supposed to be doing right now.
Okay, so it's supposed to that's what that perk is. It's supposed to be doing entry and exit damage.
Yeah, it's basically supposed to kind of hit twice.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, that wasn't working right now.
Okay.
Supposed to be a bow that can penetrate targets, so we'll see. I mean, it's Holtzman actually had a really great review of the Wishender. He put up like a week or so ago where he kind of shows you exactly what the broadhead perk is doing and what it's supposed to be doing and what it isn't doing right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see that this is getting, you know, kind of a native increase to damage. mm-hmm. just part of the sandbox change, and then also fixing the broadhead perk so that it's actually dealing the damage it's supposed to be doing. I wonder how good it's going to be in PvE moving forward. It's going to be interesting to do some damage play arounds with that, both in PvE and PvP, when Tuesday rolls around.
There's also another interesting change that they're doing here in the quality of life trace rifles. If you look at what like is so they're spawning
which is the
with Cold 50
Heart
anima
and
the Crucible.
The Prometheus lens, right? Those are our trace
Prometheus
rifles.
Lens,
yes.
Yes.
And Wave Splitter if you're on PS4.
Yeah. The interesting bit is that like it benefits from auto rifle perks.
Yeah.
On armor.
Mm-hmm. Because currently trace rifles don't benefit from those. But right. Somewhere within the code, trace rifles are kind of coded as auto rifles because that's what you used before Forsaken went live. That's what you used to infuse trace rifles. So now stuff like auto rifle loader, unflinching auto rifle aim, stuff like that is going to work with trace rifles, which is good. That's really good.
They made a little change that I wasn't aware of. I like using the Cold Heart and the Prometheus Suns in Crucible because they're just fun weapons that people don't really expect.
Yeah.
And I hear it. It comes with 30 rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like enough. Like, if you hit all of your shots, you might be able to kill, I think, 5 people. The likelihood of you hitting all your shots are basically 0. So it's, I don't even know if it's enough rounds for like a 2 or 3 kill run. When you pick up a brick, it gives you like 6.
Yeah, you do not get a lot.
I was like, this isn't viable. It also seems like it's more powerful. And I started using the Cold Heart in the Haunted Forest because it just carves enemies up. It's a really, really, really fun weapon to use in there too. It does a lot of damage.
Yeah, I love trace rifles. They're great. So I'm happy to see that they're going to be getting boosted. I think they're moving the spawn ammo to 50 in PvP.
Yeah.
It's the base spawn ammo.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then being able to mix in stuff like we said with the auto rifle armor perks. Think trace rifles might be pretty good, especially considering they've already got super high aim assist. What does the targeting perk do to that?
Oh my god.
Can aim assist go beyond 100?
Where we're going, we don't need
just auto aim for you. Somebody's going to need to test this.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting though. Good to see that buff.
Another big change is coming. We're going to see them increase the rate of the taken B-hole. The same week that they're adding double infamy and triple infamy.
Yep.
As an event that comes to Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is your gambit rank. So all the gambit farmers out there, or the people who've been avoiding gambit because of how slow because it's different from PvP and maybe even Vanguard ranks where there are, in some situations, 2 or 3 different.
It breaks it up into 3, every tier is broken into 3 delineations.
Which is strange.
Yeah, you can be Mythic level 2.
Yeah, Mythic 1, Mythic 2.
Right, yeah. So for people out there trying to get that done, and I keep going back to the Trust because it is such a good weapon that only comes from Gambit.
Yeah.
It's a really good opportunity to try and farm a couple of those because you'll be turning over that rep pretty quickly with all these different bonuses. You get to drop every actual name change. So you won't with Mythic 1, 2, or 3, right? Yeah. It's not until you go from Mythic to whatever's after that, legend or fabled or whatnot. So,
this is a good opportunity for you to get your infamy resets in, to get your hands on a trust and all that kind of stuff. Go shoot for the beehole. Get your malfeasance. Totally, maybe, possibly, might be worth it by the time you're watching this. If you're watching it on the YouTube side of things, gonna be an interesting week. And of course, beyond all of that, beyond update 2.0.5, we have the murder mystery that's going live. Can't wait.
Man. I forgot the person that they kill off even existed until you guys reminded me 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh yeah, dude, that.
Old Master Eyes. I miss you, buddy. Even though you're technically just in the EDZ now. You're just in the church now.
That's all you got to do.
You're Devrim. That's you. You lost your blue.
You just have to go up into that bell tower that he's looking out from. That's it.
Which, by the way, Devrim's been there for 2 years now. Does anybody want to go up there and make sure he's okay? He's been looking out that window in that same awkward position. I think he needs a chiropractor. Maybe even just to sit down.
He's probably fine.
I checked on him this week.
He's fine.
He seemed like he would like he was having a good time up there, but he was humming to himself. So that makes me worry about his mental state.
He's got his tea. He's fine. Yeah. He's perfectly fine. Don't worry about him. He's got tea.
Keep
he's
drinking good. That he's, tea, Devrim. That's all you got.
Oh man, so what else did we have from the TWAB? I know we've got the Refer a Friend quest. Yeah. That's coming back, which is gonna be really cool.
That's kind of fun.
You've got somebody.
That's my old clan. We used to we had to like figure out who had done it and who hadn't done it yet. And it, like we just partnered up and went for them that way. This way, the new way that they're doing it, it seems like you're able to do it multiple times with different partners and stuff.
Yeah, you're actually able to do the Refer a Friend quest with multiple people, and there's going to be more rewards the more you do it.
What is the Refer a Friend quest?
So it is like in update 2.0.5, it is like someone who's new to Destiny and someone who like someone who's a veteran. Mm-hmm. If you bring someone in, you basically link your accounts together through Bungie. It does literally nothing except for like tell you that you guys are partners in doing this.
Yeah.
And it is a quest that you do together. You have to be in the same party with them. You just go through it and you get like different rewards. Like on this, you're going to get a ship. It looks like you're going to get a Borealis shader, which is kind of gnarly looking. It's changing colors before
it's
my
a little
very
rainbow-y.
Eyes.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Borealis is like the Northern Lights, right? Well, there's two of them. There's Northern and Southern. Yeah. And they kind of change colors too, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah. So like you get that and the same thing with like a sparrow and emblems. It's nothing like super major. It's not going to be like something that's game breaking. It's purely cosmetic, but like it says for veteran player requirements, any player who owns Destiny 2 Forsaken, veteran players may invite new players for the Refer a Friend promotion. New player requirements, a new player is any player who does not own Destiny 2 Forsaken or has owned it for less than 7 days.
Right.
Once a player has owned Destiny 2 Forsaken for longer than 7 days, they are no longer eligible to be referred to for the Refer a Friend promotion. Once referred, the quest may be completed at any time. So...
Yeah, you know, they had this sort of thing back in D1, and I think the rewards were kind of the same. There was like a ship, a sparrow. Also, a really cool sword that I was mad that I never actually got.
Yeah.
I think there was a really cool emblem associated with it, too. Was it like two ships or something like that? Cool. I remember that as well.
Right, right.
And the, like, it's the interlinking emblem as well. It's kind of cool. It's just a sweet looking thing.
It's cool, yeah. And, you know, it's cool that they're kind of bringing this sort of thing back. So if you know somebody who's maybe teetering on the edge of getting Forsaken, you can invite them in. Start up that Refer a Friend quest, link up with them, Sherpa them through some content and whatnot with that quest, and get some exclusive rewards for yourself.
Sherpa them through the broadsword quest line. Probably step like 4 or 5 through there.
Don't do that. I would not. They probably won't last. To be perfectly honest, they probably won't. Shut up. Get back to grinding. Gotta get those pulse rifle kills.
Mm. All right, Dad.
Yeah, that'll be returning. Also, as a note, because they changed the way requirements were for Curse of Osiris and Warmind, I think they made the statement that people who purchased like Forsaken between October 16th and the 30th are also going to like qualify as being new players. So if you bought it, but like sometime between the 16th and the 30th, you've been playing Forsaken, you can actually still get in on this quest as a newcomer.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's a really good touch by Bungie as well. Like, all of this is to give more stuff to players. Like, this whole game is just us trying to get more stuff. And, like, the adding that in, that little caveat for those who maybe, like, weren't able to get it because of the strict stipulations, it just makes sense and it's a lot of fun. It's just
cosmetics. Cool stuff.
It's cosmetics. It doesn't matter.
See it come back. All right, so what else did we have to talk about? I think that covers it for everything that was in the TWAB, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Neat.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a couple of things that they talk about, like helpful information for things coming up. So they have the deployment schedule for Destiny 2 update 2.0.5. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday, here's the rundown. 8 a.m. PDT. Destiny 2 maintenance is scheduled to begin. No downtime is expected. Some Destiny companion features will be unavailable, and update 2.0.5 will begin rolling out across all platforms and regions. By 9:45, any Destiny 2 players remaining in activities who have not yet installed the update will be removed from the world. And at 10 a.m. PDT, D2 maintenance is scheduled to conclude. Companion features will be re-enabled, and players who encounter issues should report them on the help forum.
Yep.
Yep.
Usual stuff. So the update will be dropping at the normal times.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too surprising there.
Yeah. So just remember to leave your console on that day or turn on.
Yeah, especially if you're playing on PS4.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What are you talking about, dude? PS4 download's fine.
Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I love sometimes having to re-download the entirety of the game to get that update file.
So bad, dude.
Great system, Sony. Great system.
So bad.
Somebody, a friend of mine, downloaded Red Dead Redemption 2 and it took him 24 hours.
Oh, it's what, 100 gigs?
I think it might be more than that. It's 2 discs. If you buy a physical copy, it's 2 discs. And, I can't.
No, thank you.
My console is hardwired to my internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just sort of like installing my PS4 into the internet, I don't know how other way to speed it up. Like, I'd have to take it to like whoever the provider is and like put it in the server or whatever it is that actually creates the internet.
There,
like,
you go. Get it from the source.
Like, yeah, I don't know if that would help.
So that's another interesting thing coming up. They did mention, Bungie did like talk about the upcoming changes to like when PlayStation decides to do their name changing feature.
Really?
That it shouldn't affect anything in Destiny.
Like, really?
Yeah, I believe I saw that in the roundup this week.
But that's a little smooth.
You mean like not resetting any progress for any triumphs, not losing your account information on the way? Because your PSN has to be tied to and directly linked to your Bungie accounts, correct?
Yes. So this is from the Destiny Roundup. I'm going to pop this in the chat. That way people have a chance to read it. But Dylan says, hey, all, our teams will be testing. We'll be looking at this. We don't have 100% answers until they've completed their work, but here's what we've got right now. We have confidence that Destiny 2 will not be impacted by any issue if players choose to change their name. This includes any legacy information from D1, like your emblems, for being a veteran player. In terms of Destiny 1, we're looking at some edge case scenarios that won't impact the majority of players. Potential issues may range from issues signing into characters, failing to join friends, or various error codes in gameplay. We don't know the exacts, and some of these issues may not be frequent or severe. We still need to test to verify. Bungie.net may only have some oddities when attempting to search for player accounts or interacting with old PGCR data, but we need to test around this as well. We'll get you an update when we can, but don't have a firm ETA at this time. So
cool. Well, at least we know it's not going to break absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good to know.
Some other things that were in this specific Destiny Roundup as well. Like, they talk about that they're hearing about implementing cross save. They pass that along. So
really,
yeah, we'll see if we hear about that anytime in the near future. But that's it. Any talk about it amongst the devs is
good.
Good.
See, I would love that, but I have no idea how that would work now because I've already got separate accounts on PS4 and on PC.
Right.
Like, I've got separate characters there. What do I do?
I wonder if it would make you select
which account
you want to be active on all of them, or find a way to make you sign in on your PlayStation to your BattleNet account or something like that to link everything. It would make things so much easier to me, because we've talked about this as well, but the depth to Destiny 2, there's far more to do, far more difficult things to acquire that take more time in order to get than there ever has been before, which makes anybody who's trying to play on multiple platforms, and make no mistake about it, I'm not sure how many people out there listen or are actually trying to do this, but content creators, many of them, and many friends of and community members therein play this game on multiple platforms. This would be a huge, I will buy it on Xbox, PlayStation. I mean, I already have it, but I'll do it all. Yeah. And every time we go to new DLC, I'll buy all 3 copies of it, knowing that I can
to play it everywhere.
Yeah. And I can just use whatever I want, wherever I am, and not have to worry about it, because I might be crazy enough to try this Broadsword Quest on PlayStation again. I might.
Oh my God.
I might. All right. But like, it'd be so much better if they're talking about it. If I don't have to do that, I just already have it. So I'm just saying.
Who hurt you, Aura?
I've been enjoying Crucible a lot the past 2-3 weeks. Sixes specifically.
It's fun.
Comp and Rumble are two very separate entities, but Sixes has been a lot of fun. Like old school, this is how I felt back in Destiny 1, Year 2, and Year 3 about Crucible. I'm getting that vibe again. Even with those damn Nova Warps out there doing their Nova Warp bullshit. I still really enjoy it.
No apologies. Yeah. None. I give you none. I give you zero apologies, sir. I will continue to Nova Warp all over lobbies and be unstoppable because that super's ridiculous.
I got one more reset to do for Valor for my broadsword on PC. I got it done in about 7 total days of gameplay, I want to say. I took like a week off. Wow.
Sheesh.
Jesus.
We grinded. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Take advantage of that double and triple Valor.
I was in Florida. I was actually in Florida during the double and triple Valor. I got one day to utilize that. So I've literally just been grinding the hell out of it. And I've been having a great time. Been having a great time all the way through. So note to self, guys. Right on, if you need headshots for pulse rifles, run dual pulse rifle. Run 2 of them.
Yeah.
Just run 2 of them. You have no choice, right? You're going to get them if you only run one weapon type, you can get them. So that helped me get through the headshots a lot quicker. The more daunting part was 25 games of comp and 25 games of rumble was a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Is it just completions or wins?
It's just completions. You just got to play 25 games of rumble. But like I said, rumble is in such a bad spot right now. It's you just play your spawn. And you know you're going to get solo Blade Barrage, and you know you're going to get Nova Warped. Then you just go in knowing that, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Actually, that's the playlist I use for almost everything.
Well, you'll get it done in no time then. Yeah. Sheesh.
Oh, man.
Well, right on. I think that's a good enough place to move on to some questions from the audience here. There were a couple of leaks about D3, like Europa being, a locale for D3. A lot of these came from Reddit user AnOnTheNine, who's pretty famous for having leaked some stuff before that wound up being 100% on the money. I can still remember the first big leak that he did, where he talked about the new DLC, the new Warlock class being a Kamehameha beam. Everybody made fun of him. Nope. Nobody's laughing now. He's actually also the person who leaked that Thunderlord is supposed to be in Festival of the Lost, which
he's a pretty good source.
We knew Thunderlord was coming back. He's a pretty good source, you know, and if you guys don't know yet, the Thunderlord icon and 2 ornaments for it are already in the game files. They were added like a week ago.
Yeah.
I just want to know where that's going to fit. Where's that weapon going to fit? And how
it's going to break PvP for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was a really good PvP weapon back in the day. Nobody really ever tried it, but back in Destiny 1, it was a savage PvP. It was one of my favorite PvP weapons to use because it was so damn good. I just can't. What is it going to one shot? Like, what? We'll find out, dude. We'll see.
Probably not one shot. I would. So in PvP back in D1, it was what, a 3-4 shot kill to the head.
Man, I just held that gun down like it was Rambo. I have no idea. It's
beautiful. Dude, Thunderlord, like, it's a shame that it got slept on so hard, especially after year one. But year one PvP, Thunderlord was a monster. Back in the days when people dropped heavy, if you secured heavy at the start of a match, you could run through the entire game using nothing but Thunderlord. Mm-hmm. That's what we would do. That gun was ridiculous. Yeah, people in chat are saying it was a 3-tap to the head. I could see that fitting into PvP right now, especially with the fact that, Thunderlord's ability was increasing rate of fire as you held down the trigger. And we know that there's a perk in the data files right now, I do believe it's called Onslaught, that increases the rate of fire as you stack Rampage. It's a really unique perk in the data pool.
That's going to annihilate stuff.
I can only think that's going to be on Thunderlord. And that's going to be pretty big in PvE and PvP.
And it still won't kill so, Nova Warp.
No, it won't. As a matter of fact, it gives Nova Warp health back.
It probably will, honest to God.
You get stronger. But yeah, I mean, get ready to see nothing but Thunderlord in the Crucible until, like, Black Armory drops in a month or so.
Yeah.
That's just going to be how it is, because it's going to be a new thing and everybody's going to be using it. But yeah. Yeah, the Reddit user who leaked that, he had a couple of other things to say, like I think Europa being like a locale in D3, just little stuff like that. Really nothing too big. He's also talked about some other things like The Last Word returning in future content, specifically Black Armory. Feels good.
One of the rumors that I heard is that they're going that it would be that Destiny 3, whenever we receive it, would be more like RPG heavy. That yes. they'd be like tilting way hard into it.
That was something he said. I remember that post. Basically saying that D3 was going to be, whereas D2 was kind of the Bungie vision for a more casual Destiny experience. Yeah. D3, they're just going all out. They're just leaning into the hardcore kind of RPG vibe that Destiny has. Which, if y'all think there's stuff to grind for now,
like that's rest the thing. Like, at least I know this now, so I can prepare.
Forgery. You actually got to grind for the place where you craft the broadsword and create your own gun smithing area where you can make your own weapons. Oh, dude, please. Oh, I would love
You
got
to grind for the right to get frame. The quest to get the broadsword. Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, but you know, he's been dropping little hints about future content. Now we're not going to really go too much into some of this stuff because some of it's pretty far off. But like I said, stuff like Icebreaker and Last Word potentially coming back in Black Armory. A couple of other exotic hand cannons from D1 possibly popping up in the future, including the one you don't want to come back. Oh yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you know what I'm talking about, Chat. You know my baby.
He's talking about the thorn, dude. He's talking about the thorn.
Get burned right up the butt.
Are you talking about the thorn?
You're talking about the thorn, baby. Comes,
I want a fourth archetype that is damage over time, poison, disgusting, dirty, awful, Hy-Vee. I just want to sweep the floor and clean up all this crap, nasty kind of subclass. I'm saying, like, that's what I want. Yeah. I want to be a dirty, filthy, awful animal that does damage over time. I want a whole subclass for that if they're bringing the thorn back.
That'd be cool, man.
If thorn comes back, I want an emote of just your guardian in the fetal position. Because I'm just rocking in a corner. I can just, ugh.
I just want to two-tap and walk away.
You'll be burning while you're rocking in that corner.
I just want to two-tap and walk away. That's all I want to do.
Yep. Bloop, bloop. Done. Yeah, Thorn might be coming back as a part of, like, Joker's Wild or something. And Hawkmoon, maybe even the Hawkmoon, will make its return.
Yeah.
All these are leaks, so, you know, take them with a grain of salt. The source is pretty reliable, but as usual with any of these things, it's always smart to take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
We'll see as things move forward, especially when it comes to the D3 stuff. That's so far off, considering we know that a significant portion of the teams were working on Forsaken. The development of D3 probably just started, to be perfectly honest, knowing the way these things usually work. So anything is subject to change. We'll see as things move forward, though.
Yeah.
1 month until Black Armory, and I know I'm ready. I'm ready for some new stuff to do. All
right.
We're ready for some questions?
Yeah. So far, I only have like a couple questions, and then we'll call it an evening. This has already been an eventful podcast, and we thank you all so much for sticking with us. Joel asks, would a Destiny Battle Royale be likely? And if so, how would it be? At this point, I don't think... Without, like, servers, without dedicated servers, I don't think you could see a 100-player Battle Royale in Destiny.
People lag in 4v4. You want to throw 100 Guardians? Where are we going to put them all? Where are we all going to go? We have limited social space in the EDZ for, what, 9 people? It's impossible for a BR for Destiny to happen. Not going to work. Yeah. If it did work, I could tell you, you would pick up your weapon on your screen and it wouldn't be there for like 45 minutes. And by the time it popped in there, you'd already be dead because the guy who's skipping across the screen, the other guy who's skipping across the screen, it would be an absolute awful gaming experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if the engine could handle like a large scale battle royale here in Destiny. We've already actually had them talk several times in the past about the problems that they experience when they have multiple characters on screen. And like, that's one of the reasons why they try to keep it down to like a 3-man fire team in patrol spaces, because they just can't have more than a certain number of players all on screen with like the explosion effects and everything else that's going on with all these different characters. So I would not expect a Destiny battle royale. Certainly not in D2.
No.
I mean, maybe in D3 if they rebuild the engine from the ground up, but
by then,
it's probably not.
Battle royales aren't going to be the hot thing anymore.
Yeah, by then, probably not.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I don't see that ever happening. I would dread it with the way that it's set up right now.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah, so from Beatrix 122, would you rather Bungie build on D2 or just make a new game?
I would rather them build on D2, but knowing what we know about D2's development now with the changes to the engine and whatnot, we know that things are really limited with the way D2 is right now. The things that they'd be able to feasibly change would kind of be super limited. So in that kind of scope, I could see them just pushing out a D3. Mm-hmm. I always kind of argued that Destiny was a franchise that could really benefit from the MMO style of development where you make a base game, then you just continue to expand upon that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not really realistic for a game like Destiny, but yeah, I would prefer if they just kept expanding D2 rather than pushing out a brand new game, but that's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, for them to build on, like, Warframe is a console game that kind of allows you to build on the game itself, but there aren't social spaces per se. You load into certain missions, so it'd be the same as like loading into different areas of the EDZ and only having access to those areas at those times. You wouldn't be able to access the other. I kind of want the answer to be both. I kind of want a whole new engine that would allow for something like that to happen, but only in the world at which it currently exists, where we can go from one social space to another without having to dip out, go to a certain loading screen, reselect the mission, that kind of thing coming in. I don't know anything about game development, though, so who knows what they have off their sleeve.
It's hard.
Yeah, I stand behind the fact that Destiny 2, the base game is infinitely miles ahead of where Destiny 1 was at the start. It's just, it is a better base game. It's a better place to launch off from. I'm not gonna argue for like a continued experience in this one. I'm actually gonna argue for like a new game. I think I would hate to lose my inventory again, because once again, that's just content that is already made, that is already there, that can move over into whatever you have moving forward.
Right.
And just expand the loot pool more. What I want isn't a Bungie that looks at it and be like, what needs to be fixed? What can we fix like all at once this time? Because we saw how that worked last with this one. I want a Bungie that said that rather than looking at it as we need a new experience for everything, and just takes what they did really fucking well.
Yeah.
And push forward with that in a different iteration that might benefit a longer running title, or like an expandable universe as we go ahead. But I don't know, man. I can see them just blowing something up again.
Yeah, chat saying this time they blow up the farm. I don't know if they're going to be able to get away with that same little story this time.
Who's going to miss it?
It was one of the most beautiful made areas that you spent 15 minutes in that has ever existed in a video game. It was so incredibly designed, and you were there for no time at
all. Got one of the best. Its background track is one of the best pieces of music in this game.
Yeah.
And you're there for 15 mm-hmm. minutes. Sad.
Yep. I hope Master Ives, I hope they go really dark with this storyline where it, like you just see him like in the middle of that soccer field on the farm, like that's where his body is. And you just have to
you've been collecting too many souls, Dan. You spend too much time in the Shadow Realm, dude. Come back to us.
Yeah, and I've been playing Red Dead, so I've got a taste for murder.
Oh man. Didn't realize this was an episode of NCIS. Sheesh.
Got a taste.
It was actually Dan. Guys, the murder mystery's already been solved. It was actually Dan Finity who committed the crime.
He wanted the fragments of souls.
I lassoed a guy and dragged him behind my horse for like 5 minutes. It was great.
Your sparrow.
Sheesh.
We don't have horses in Destiny.
Yeah, we're not allowed to have those. We don't get living creatures.
We haven't used the bathroom in 5 years, Dan.
Thought you just go in your suit.
Listen, we were having this conversation today. I don't know. I haven't seen a shower. I haven't seen a bathroom. There's not one in the farm. There's not one in the tower in Destiny 1. There's not one in the Traveler now. I haven't used the bathroom in 5 years.
I guess I imagine when you die and like disintegrate, your ghost brings you back. He just kind of brings you back, gives you that fresh ghost smell, just with an empty bladder, and you know you're all cleaned up.
The only way to go to the bathroom is to die.
That's it. It's to die. It's like, oh man, my hair's getting a little long. I need a haircut. Rocket, boom. Ghost is like, I got you. Let me give you that sweet fade.
That's incredibly brings you back with the fade. So painful.
Well, here's the thing.
Guardians.
So you die. You defecate. In your suit, which then gets reconstituted. So your pants are just full of all that shit and piss.
I'd imagine Ghost cleans that
every time
up or
I
transmats
die,
it somewhere
else. I come back
else.
With more shit in my suit.
That
no wonder we're so angry and killing everything in sight.
Like popping off my body.
Like, oh man.
I don't understand how that's a reasonable explanation as to what's going on, Dan.
The Frosties have tubes.
We can try to cross the interstellar galactic like universe, but I have to travel with my shit every time I die. You guys are crazy, man. I thought chat was crazy.
Oh my god,
you guys are crazier.
Yeah, I'm going to subscribe to the theory that Ghost just transmats it somewhere else. Yeah, you,
I want to go to that
you come
planet.
Back clean.
What if that's in there?
Maybe we're just dumping it in like what's left of Oryx's throne room. That's why we don't go back to the Dreadnought.
Oh my god.
It wouldn't be surprised if the Dreadnought was actually where all that stuff went.
What if
we're just
god.
Like it anyway.
The Dreadnought.
What if that's Penumbra? What if that's like see something coming from the sky and you look up and it's just a shit planet. It's all of our shit just coming back
to haunt us. Oh no,
that would be what destroys the tower this
cannon.
Time forget the Red Legion.
Oh my
dude
god.
Yeah, so it's not
we
that our gear
cool
gets destroyed. Yeah, it's not that our gear gets destroyed between D3, it's just we don't want it anymore because it's kind of stained. No, alright Bungie, I'll take the new armor. I'll take the new armor set. I don't think I like this cannon. I'm out.
Mm. Oh man.
Oh, it's late. I love you guys.
Is that a good enough place to stop this podcast
I think
on?
So.
Is this the note that we bring it to a stop
my
on?
Bad.
I think so. You know what?
It's a brown
That's
note.
Good. It's a brown note that we're gonna
Listen, there's other things like, that poop in there, too. Let's just get that out of the way. Like, it's not just one thing. We don't only go number two as Guardians, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there. Yeah. Mm. When you know, between D2 and D3, we're just going to have to crawl through it like...
I just want to point out that the armor for Titan, the armor set for Titan, kind of makes you look like it... I could see it being the case of it being stuck in there. Go back and check out your collections if you guys haven't already. You'll thank me later.
Those shoulder pads can fit a lot of stuff. That's why they're so big. All right, I'm stopping it right now. That's enough of this nonsense. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to episode 175 of the Planet Destiny podcast. I think this episode has been sufficiently spooked, and if you weren't spooked before, you surely are now.
Oh,
Tales from the Crypt here on the Planet Destiny podcast.
My
you okay,
heart
Dan?
Hurts.
You need a rest?
My heart hurts. I love you guys so much. Oh. I'm going to go transmat some stuff after this podcast.
You kind of need to do it. We got to go clean out our vault. It's starting to reek a little bit in there. All right. Before we get on out of here, we're going to let you Guardians know where you can find us across the internet. Dan, where you at, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at Danfinity, but the I's are L's. That is Nim's favorite thing, and I'm sad that he's not here to hear, hear that.
I'll enjoy it.
All right. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Danfinity. You can find me there almost every day. This week, probably playing Red Dead Redemption because holy mother of balls, that's awesome. You can also find me here on twitch.tv/planet_destiny on Fridays now, moving from Thursdays because it works out better with the old schedule and stuff. On SideQuest Sunday, my other podcast, we have a spooky tales episode, which is kind of fun. Like, it's the first time I've ever had like five guests on one episode, all telling like all like interview style. It's pretty fun. It's all like IRL hauntings and sightings and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. And that's pretty much it for me. What about you guys? Aura?
You can find me at twitch.tv/Aura, A-U-R-A, if you want to talk about how our Guardians haven't used the bathroom in 5 years. So just to come by. 7 days a week, we're live.
Deepest lore.
Every once in a while, we get a day off. It's pretty crazy. You can also find me on Twitter, twitter.com/3VIL_AURA. I am the artist formerly known as Evil Aura. Changed my name on Twitch, but not on Twitter. Deal with
accident.
It.
It's beautiful. We have a fun time here. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, my name is The Black Link. You can pretty much find me everywhere on the internet, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all at The Black Link. This week is going to be a busy one. We're going to have our usual live streams Monday to Friday, generally starting at around 11 a.m. Eastern time, you know, doing some Call of Duty, doing some Destiny 2, all that kind of good stuff. When the update goes live, probably going to be covering a lot of stuff to do with the murder mystery that's going to be coming alongside it. So you'll be able to see videos for that over at youtube.com/TheBlackLink, the Planet Destiny YouTube channel as well. Make sure you're tuning in for all the latest stuff. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be it for episode 175 of the Planet Destiny podcast. If you tuned in here live, get ready to tell us who we're going to be tossing this party over to so you can go and ask them about the deepest bathroom lore within Destiny 2 and see what their thoughts on the brown mile are. Very interested in seeing who's going to have to contend with all this in chat. But all right, that is it for this one. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Later.